You today. My time is short, so I just, by way of introduction, want to say how much I appreciate being with you. It's been an honor to meet Joe and spend a little time with him, and I want to publicly acknowledge the integrity of his ministry, the love and grace with which he's conducted himself, his love for the Word and for the mission of God's kingdom. I honor him, and I wish I could bottle him, as I'm sure you do as well. Once upon a time, the church in Jerusalem owned that city. They were meeting together in Solomon's portico, and hundreds of people were flooding to see what was going on, this strange new word about the Messiah. Peter was walking around the city dripping so much spiritual power that even when his shadow fell on someone who is sick and diseased, that person was healed. Everywhere you looked, there was excitement, miracles, God showing up. 3,000 people were baptized after one sermon, and Just As I Am hadn't even been written yet. Miraculous. It's like you died and gone to heaven. Every morning you get up and right away you're hip deep in kingdom business. God is doing powerful things. Once again, Jehovah God of Israel is rising up and you see His presence. You wanted it to last forever. But of course it couldn't. Stephen preached his bold and risky sermon before the Sanhedrin, and they killed him for his troubles. Persecution of Saul broke out. Saul cut through the believers of Jerusalem like a scythe through wheat. Luke tells us that under this new persecution, the church fled. They packed a hasty bag. They ran out of the city. They went to points north and east and south. In fact, he says the only people who stayed behind were the apostles. The first third of the story of Acts tells us the story of a church that had to handle transition at every turn. From just a small group of believers meeting in an upper room to this mega church meeting in Solomon's portico. From a group that people spoke well of, thought well of, to a group that was suddenly being hunted and persecuted. From a group that was just trying to figure out what they were going to do tomorrow to suddenly they had leadership structure and the apostles were stepping in and then all of a sudden, everything went away. Persecution broke out. The popularity was gone. The church deserted Jerusalem. But notice, excuse me, it didn't matter what was happening that first third of Acts. It didn't matter whether they were up or down, high or low. This was a church that was always able and willing to keep the main thing the main thing. They knew what their mission was. They knew what their message was. And it didn't matter what the circumstances of Jerusalem were. If they were in Jerusalem, they preached Jesus. If they were scattered from Jerusalem, what'd they do? Come on. They preached Jesus. Transition wasn't the point. The character of the church was the point. There is a certain rhythm to the kingdom of God. Ups and downs, good times and bad. Times of growth, times of decline. We're just not very fond of that rhythm, are we? We like our predictability. We like our stability. We like our safety. This is the audience participation time now. Isn't that right? Yeah. And yet life in the kingdom seldom stands still. Churches wax and wane. Ministers come and go. People live and love and die. Things happen in the kingdom and there is this constant flux. Everybody wants to be a part of the Jerusalem church on the way up. Oh, we love it when we're experiencing times of growth and excitement and the Spirit of God is showing up and we're... It's on the way down we're not very fond of. We're not as popular as we used to be. We're not as large as we used to be. Things are difficult. We have to work at stuff. And it's not so fun belonging to a church like Jerusalem when persecution has broken out and everybody's scattered everywhere. What happened to the building plans? But the rhythm is there for a reason. You see, we want the best of the kingdom without the rhythm of the kingdom. Yet the rhythm is there for a reason. The rhythm is how God keeps His people on task. The rhythm, the ups and downs, are how God teaches His people, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what transition you're in the midst of, there is a main thing that must remain the main thing. The message is the same. The mission is the same. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. About the rhythm. You and I would be sorely tempted to simply circle the wagon, hang on to the status quo, and try our best just to stick together till the Lord comes again. No real message, no real mission, just grit our teeth and hope He comes quick. Without the rhythm, we'd be tempted to unfaithfulness. The middle section of Acts tells us about a different time in the life of the Jerusalem church. Things have changed. The persecution under Saul has gone away. And now the church begins to filter back to Jerusalem. They move back into their lives and their homes and their businesses. But they're not the same church, and the world is not the same world. And so in this middle section of Acts, you have not a Jerusalem-focused story, but a Mediterranean-focused story. So this middle section of Acts opens with Peter baptizing Cornelius, the Roman centurion. Imagine that. It tells of Paul's missionary journeys, all in Gentile territory. It tells us of that great conference in Jerusalem where churches gathered there to debate the question, what are we going to do with all of these Jerusalems coming in here, all these Gentiles coming in here? Is our Messiah supposed to be shared with them? Frankly, Jerusalem did a really good job of talking about Jesus the Mashiach as long as they were talking to people just like themselves. Oh, they knew how to talk to Jewish believers about Jesus, the one promised by Isaiah. But God was doing something different in the world now. He was letting the Jewish cat, the gospel cat, out of the Jewish bag. He was trying to broaden the audience that heard about Jesus the Messiah. He was pushing the message and the mission out of Jerusalem, up to Antioch, over to Cyprus. He wanted the message to go into all the world. And you know what? He told them exactly what was coming. He sends Peter to Cornelius and says, baptize him, and Peter, don't you dare call unclean what I have made clean. Any questions? He takes Paul and rips him out of his Pharisaical prejudices and pushes him into a mission to the Gentiles. You will be my apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul is out there speaking Jesus to Gentile audiences. The game has changed. And yet Jerusalem isn't very comfortable with those changes. There are people in Jerusalem who are not one whit happy with what Paul is doing and the people to whom he's preaching. There are people who brought Peter before them and said, "What in the world were you thinking, baptizing that Gentile?" God had showed them the way forward, but there were some people in Jerusalem who did not want to move that way forward. They didn't want a new audience. They didn't want the Gentiles with all of their problems and difficulties. Though God was trying to drag them through transition into a better, more kingdom-focused future, they were going kicking and screaming. And so the middle section of Acts tells us about a church that wasn't sure about its mission anymore. Things were changing. The audience was changing. The focus of the world was changing. And the people of Jerusalem did not feel comfortable with that. And you have in this middle section, you have strife. You have anxiety. You have tension. The church not handling transition very well. Most of the good things that happen in God's kingdom happen as a result of transition. Just think about that for a moment. Floodwaters that sweep away a wicked world so God can begin again with righteous Noah. The call to Abraham, get up, pack your bags, move your family to a land I will show you. Don't ask where, I'm going to tell you where. Israel, leaving in the middle of the night, making their torturous and lengthy way to the promised land God had reserved for them. David, happy, comfortable, powerful, and then here comes Nathan, shaking his finger in his face, saying, "You are the man." David, entering a period of mourning and brokenness and repentance, and it was for his good. Peter, stepping out of the boat in that stormy night and walking at least a few steps towards Jesus, something he'd never done before and probably would never do again. Saul, dusting himself off on that Damascus road after being knocked to the ground, making his blind way into Damascus, where someone would tell him what he must do. Some of the best things that happen in the kingdom of God happen through transition and in seasons of transition. It's periods of stability that the people of God ought to fear. It's when we get comfortable and complacent. It's when things get predictable and safe. That's when our affections tend to wander and we start to set up altars on high hills to other gods. The challenge for God's people is never to keep things the same, but always to respond to transition by keeping the main thing, the main thing. Faithfulness is not a matter of protecting our routines. Faithfulness is about responding to the rhythms of life and the rhythms of the kingdom in faithful ways. You and I have so little control over the transition that hits our lives. I met a man just before services started who'd lost his wife. He had no control over that. He didn't want that. But godliness is responding to that in godly ways. Joe is retiring. How dare he? Doesn't he know that this is all about what I want, my comfort zones, what I've grown to become accustomed to? Why doesn't he adjust his life to support the normal that I have come to know and love? Well, you just don't control transition. What you control is your response to transition. What you control is your attitude about transition. Do transitions happen? You throw up your hands and go, well, there's the ball game. Or do you say, God is still God. The mission is still the mission. The message is still the message. And we're going to handle whatever life brings, whatever God throws at us in faithful ways. And we're going to keep the main thing, the main thing. The first third of Acts tells about a church in lots of transition, and they're handling transition really well. They go everywhere preaching Jesus. The middle section of Acts tells us about a church also facing lots of transition, but they're handling it less well. Grumble, grumble, gripe, gripe. The last third of Acts tells of a church that is also dealing with transition, but they've just decided to bury their head in the sand. Church in Jerusalem is still there, the last third of Acts, but it's only mentioned one time in the last 8 or 10 chapters. Churches in other places around the Mediterranean, churches in Ephesus, Corinth, Tyre, Caesarea, Berea, Thessaloniki, Derbe, Troas, Ptolemais, Ptoli, and Rome, they're all mentioned, some of them multiple times. But the Jerusalem church is mentioned just once. And it's when Paul goes back to Jerusalem at the end of his final missionary journey to report what God has been doing through his ministry among the Gentiles. The elders of the church hurry out of the city gates. They meet Paul. And Paul begins his incredible report about lives being changed, and they interrupt him. And this is what they say. You see, Brother Paul, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law. They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What shall we do? Oh, Paul, that's great about people in Corinth becoming Christians, but look, we're concerned about the people here. Paul, that's good news about those former idolaters, those pagans turning to worship Jesus as the Messiah and as the Savior. But we've heard that you aren't very strong on circumcision. That you're a little... Did you really eat a hot dog the other day? Oh, we're grateful that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. But what we're really concerned about, Paul, is that the people here who love the law will hear that you have come, and they will not like it very much. They don't like the changes you're proposing. They don't like the audience you're preaching to. What shall we do? In another 10 years, there will be no church in Jerusalem. In 66 AD, Vespasian and his armies come, lay siege to Jerusalem. Rumor, tradition has it that the church in Jerusalem, through a prophecy, received warning of that and fled the city before Vespasian arrived. 4 years later, Jerusalem would be taken, the walls would be torn down, the temple destroyed. A little group of people called the Ebionite community probably represents the remnants of the Jerusalem church. And they taught, you need to believe that Jesus is God's Messiah. And here's how you believe that faithfully. You circumcise your children, you keep the Sabbath laws, and you don't eat pork. And they dwindled over the next 150 years from a few hundred to a few dozen to some old man wandering around in the wilderness by himself. Lots of transition. They just didn't handle it. They wouldn't handle it. The Jerusalem church ceased to exist. Now, I say all that to say this. You are a church experiencing transition. You're going to be experiencing. You may not want it. You may not like it. But guess what? It's coming. And the challenge for you is not to figure out how to avoid transition or step out of the way of transition or minimize transition. The challenge for you is to figure out how can we be God's people? How can we keep God's mission front and center? How can we continue to speak God's message in spite of transition? How can we keep the main thing the main thing? No matter who's in this pulpit, no matter who is shepherd of this church, no matter what happens in the community around us, how do we keep our eye on the gospel ball when all around us is change? You're going to decide over the next few months whether, like the church of Jerusalem in the first third of Acts, whether you're going to handle transition well, take whatever comes, and continue to glorify God and pursue His mission. Or if you'll be like the church of Jerusalem in the middle section of Acts, where you spend more time grumbling about transition than you do gossiping about the gospel. Or will you be like Jerusalem in the last third of Acts? I'm sick of talking about transition. Don't use that dirty word change anymore. I'm sticking my head in the ground. What about circumcision? What about hot dogs? What about Saturdays? You're going to decide that. No one will decide that for you. Joe cannot decide that for you. Your shepherds cannot decide that for you. You, each one of you, will decide what kind of church am I going to be a part of in the coming season of transition. My prayer for you, brothers and sisters at Sunset, is that you will be a people who allow transition to focus you once more on the mission of the kingdom. And that out of this transition will come a renewed focus on the gospel, will come a renewed focus on who Jesus is and what He is asking of us, will come a renewed emphasis and enthusiasm for taking the message of Jesus to people who need it desperately. But that's up to you. Every church has a time to be born. Every church has a time of its prime. Every church has a time where it declines and dies. You don't control much of that rhythm. What control you do have is really attitudinal. What kind of people are you going to be in seasons of transition? In so many ways, what's going to happen in the next few months in this church will say little about the character of Joe Bright. It'll say much about your character. What kind of church will the Sunset Church of Christ be a year from now? Our hope is that we can be of help to you, that we can walk with you through our experience with hundreds of churches, right where you are, doing what you're doing. We're not here to change this church. We're here to help this church handle change. And I hope and pray that we can partner with you and be a blessing for you. Now, this message was not designed to have people. I doubt if we're going to have 3,000 people baptized after today's lesson. Are we singing "Just As I Am," Hart? So maybe, I mean, if you want to come hear about Jesus Christ, we'd love to have some time to talk to you about Him, what He's done in our lives. But maybe the better response today is for each one of us to say, doesn't matter what's coming in the next few months, I'm going to remember who Jesus is. Doesn't matter what changes in the next few months, I'm going to find people to talk to about Jesus. Doesn't matter what transitions may occur, I'm going to love the people of this church like Jesus loves them, like He loves me. If you would make a commitment today to do that, that'll go a long way towards making sure that this church remembers why God founded this church and what God wants of this church. Let's stand and sing.